Thanks. So taking role this morning, it's myself, Mike Rodenbaugh from the business constituency, Jeff Eckhouse from Registrars, Jonathan Frakes from Registrars, Jeff Newman from Registries, Christina Rosette from the IPC, Danny Younger from the NCUC, Olaf Nordling from staff, Patrick Jones from staff, and Glenn St. Gere from staff. Have I missed anybody?
Yeah, me, Greg Ruth.
Greg Ruth from the ISPs. Good. Hey, Greg.
Hi. Nick, and Nick Aston-Hawk from...
And Nick from staff. All right. All right. Thanks. Sorry, I didn't really get an agenda out before this meeting. The fact is, I don't believe the agenda's really changed much since the last meeting. I'm not sure we have a whole lot to talk about. We did just start talking through the issue we're having with VeriSign and with Paul Stahura trying to get further information from the Zone files. Paul had promised a Zone copy to Danny Younger at least a month ago now, so that Danny could do some analysis, and has not come through at that date, so nothing has been done. And VeriSign has essentially refused to provide any information in response to a request from myself and Jeff Newman. So we're talking about what we can do about that, essentially, which is, it seems at this point, given the timeline that we're under with counsel, we're not going to have much choice but to document what we've tried to do in our report and leave it at that. Unless anybody has any other suggestions.
Mike.
Well, how we might, yep, go ahead, Christina.
I was just hoping that you could clarify for those of us who haven't been involved and so that we've got a record of it, what the obstacle is or what the issue is, not only with regard to Paul providing Danny with the Zone file, but also, you know, without getting into kind of verbatim responses, what the objection has been from VeriSign.
Yep. Well, Paul, we just don't know. He's pretty much dropped off the face of the earth, is not responding to requests from staff or from myself or from Danny to ask for status. So that's the situation there. With VeriSign, we the list, essentially agreed on a set of questions or a set of statistics that we would like from VeriSign. And they've essentially responded saying that we don't need the evidence, we haven't shown any good reason for it, and therefore they're not going to provide anything further.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. So first they questioned the definition of the terms that we were using, and so I clarified that with, you know, the data that .biz and .org provided. Then they said that they didn't see the reason. We have to show good cause as to why we wanted that specific information. And then when I explained that in a return email, then he came back and said, well, we think that data is registry-sensitive information and that registrars wouldn't want us to disclose it. And when I responded back and said, well, can you at least give us the data in the aggregate, maybe not by registrar, the response was, well, it's still registry-sensitive information and you should have all the data you need by looking at the monthly reports that they started giving us back in Q1 of this year. And so it's kind of been going around and around in a circle, and we haven't gotten a response since.
Yep, basically they're saying, Chuck Gomes is the one that's been responding, saying that essentially we don't need anything, any other information. We haven't shown sufficient reason for additional information, and he's escalated to his legal team for some sort of further response to us.
Well, I mean, I agree with what you all were saying earlier. I think at this point the only thing we can do is to clearly document what we requested, why we requested it, and what the source of the objection was. And I think in some scenarios, the refusal and the basis for it, or at least the articulated basis for it, could frankly be more helpful to us in the long run. And with regard to the data from Paul, I do know that there are certain IP owners, I'm sure this doesn't come as a surprise to anyone, who do analyze that zone file. Is there a reason that, I mean, do we need to get it from a registrar? Does it need to be paid for? I mean, is there a particular reason that we would need to get it through Paul, or is it just a
huge... No.
Okay.
There's no particular reason other than he promised it a while ago, so we assumed it was coming, and obviously didn't make any alternative effort to get the information. But yeah, lots of people have the zone file information. Danny Younger and I discussed this a few days ago. You know, essentially what he's been looking for is a sample, or a randomly selected sample of zone records from any, you know, recent 1 week period, 2,000 to 2,500 records. But at this point, again, just given the timing, even if Danny were to get that information today, you know, what he could do with it is pretty limited.
So we just push it forward into the PDP cycle, that's all.
Yep. I think, Danny, it would be helpful if you could circulate just a couple sentences or paragraph about what you were planning to do with
sure.
the data.
Be happy to.
All right. Okay. Any other questions on either of those two issues or points of discussion on those?
Mike, can I just clarify that when I wrote to you, this is Patrick, when I sent my email to you, it was that staff does not have sufficient resources at the time to pull the, you know, the zone file information, and that hadn't changed from about a month ago when I made that same comment. So that's when Paul stepped up and offered to make a copy and send it to Danny and take it from there. And, you know, there, as Christina mentioned, there are others that pull the zone file on a regular basis, and you might want to see if there's another group out there that could do the same, you know, pull information on a faster basis.
I think everyone understands. There's no question. We can get the information. Unfortunately, the timing right now is such that even if we got it, I don't know that we could do much with it that would matter for these next steps. So, at the bottom line, I think we just kind of ran out of time on that project.
Yeah.
For now. Okay. The only other issue that I had to discuss was one of timing. Well, actually, there's one other. Olaf, if you wouldn't mind giving sort of a brief recap of where we're at with the RFI responses, which are going to close on Saturday.
Yeah, with pleasure. Right today, we've got 40 responses by email to the RFI, quite a big increase recently on the Big Pulse survey. I think it's 151 total respondents, not all of which have responded to all the questions, but that's the total. So that's increased considerably this last time.
All right.
Probably a record for responses to any consultation, I would imagine.
Well, and I know the reason for that, actually. this is Christina. I just want to go ahead and let everybody know, and I'll post something formally to the list for those that are on the list but aren't able to participate in the calls. The IPC has extended its polling deadline to the 20th, in part to take into account the religious holidays this week, but in greater part because I realized over the weekend that we had not been, frankly, we didn't have a whole lot of respondents for the IPC RFI, which didn't make any sense to me, given that the International Trademark Association did, in fact, send out an email message to about 3,000 members, asking them and encouraging them to participate. And when I looked at kind of where people were taken by clicking on that link, I realized that the format of our introduction could easily result in people clicking on the link to the general RFI and completing that without realizing that that's what they were in fact completing. So we've tinkered with the introduction to basically make it clear that, you know, you need to select proceed below to continue. And because of that, we've also extended the time. And in talking actually with a number of colleagues, for example, on my INTA Internet Subcommittee, it basically, it's unanimous that they all completed the general RFI thinking it was the IPC one. So I would expect, frankly, that you will continue to see a surge in those general numbers, and hopefully in the next few days a surge in the specific ones, as, in the IPC one as well.
This is Olaf. I think we have perhaps another reason was that Glenn, following last week's call, sent out reminders.
Right.
I think, well, all contributed to it, but I do see a lot of respondents with intellectual property interests. That's correct.
Olaf, okay. It's Danny. Out of the 151 so far that I'm seeing in the poll results, I'm still not actually seeing any handwritten comments, so to speak.
No.
Have any come through?
Oh, no free text comments or anything of the sort.
Shall I address this? The reason that you don't see any narrative results is because if you think about it, every single comment is unique. But what is being presented on that page is all the yeses combined, all the noes combined. So if every response that is received in narrative form were to be set alongside, the results would be individual. You would see a very long page with the results and the questions for each individual. It's actually possible, easy, to download the entire result set so that you can see the answers and the comments that were left alongside those answers.
But still, shouldn't we be able to see 14, 15, and 16?
And it's the same sort of question. I can put up a saved results page that shows all of the responses, just as long as everyone's aware of. It won't really be tabulating the yeses and the noes and how many yeses and noes there are and that sort of thing. You'll see, you know, a yes and the responses to all the questions and then next person and all of their responses, if you see what I mean.
Okay, now, Nick, I understand. It's just when I'm looking at 16, you know, please provide any other comments, and I'm getting no results as being, you know, what's shown on the screen. It makes it hard to understand whether we've actually gotten any comments.
I will speak, this is obviously a very good point. I will speak to the Big Pulse people and suggest that they need to put up a different message than that, because it would lead you to believe that there are no comments, when in fact there are comments.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's just not easy to display them.
Nick, that's very useful information to me, because I'm a tenderfoot in Big Pulse things. And I interpreted this letterly. Would it be possible for them to, instead of making, all of the individual responses with their individual comments, rather to have collate the written comments, question
yes, it is
regardless of who made the comment.
I have actually looked at just that, and I will show you how to see that, Olaf, by the way. The problem is that in many cases, people's comments are directly related to the answer that they made in the boxes that they ticked, and so you lose context if you look at the both parts of the answer to each question, if you see what I mean.
When it comes to 14 to 16, I mean, they would really... of responses.
Yeah. Those would stand on their own, of course.
But it's interesting to know that there is data in free form somewhere.
Right.
Yes.
So, Nick, I guess the question I have for you is, how quickly, I'm assuming we're going to go ahead and close as planned on Saturday, at the end of Saturday. Next week, can you circulate to the list a summary document of the responses?
Yeah, I can pull the raw data down at any time, actually.
Okay.
So I'll show Olaf how to do that. So I can send along the actual raw information and responses.
And then, obviously, the questions, which are simply a narrative, response is invited. There is no box ticking and then a narrative. Those are very easy to simply state, okay, there were 412 comments on these questions, and here are the results. The others, it's somewhat more difficult to present them. So we'll just have to look. I think Olaf and Glenn and I will, of course, send out the raw information, but then we'll have to look at how do we present this.
Right. How are we going to summarize it for the report to council?
The next step.
I think we've agreed. And Olaf, you mentioned earlier that all of these responses are in the public domain as of now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All the responses, I wasn't aware of the Big Pulse text responses, but all the responses in on the ICANN website, by email, ICANN, are in the public domain, quite obviously.
Okay, because those are on a public list, but then the Big Pulse responses are not necessarily, is that correct?
Well, the Big Pulse responses, I mean, this overview that I get, I don't know how to get anything else but that one for the time being. But that is the poll results. They're accessible for anybody.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, there's a link on the page showing, you know, live. You can look at the live results here for the aggregated results.
Okay. All right. So the issue then is just basically going to be to pull those down when it's over and send it around to the list and then figure out a way to also aggregate the write-in responses.
Indeed. But I think that's, it's comforting to know that there are written responses there
right.
as well. I think that's...
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll find a convenient way of presenting that.
Okay, Christina, you mentioned that the IPC was hoping to keep the IPC specific RFI open until the 20th.
Yes.
Only? Okay, I thought it was going to be longer than that.
Well, I don't want to extend it out very long. I'm trying to get the shortest period of time possible. In large part because if it does turn out that a significant number of the responses require validation, I want to have sufficient time to do that. So I guess it's theoretically possible we would want to extend it again, but I don't anticipate that at this point.
Okay. All right, so then the same drill. A week after next, you and Nick and Olaf will work to circulate a summary of those responses?
Sure, absolutely. And in fact, it would be particularly helpful to the extent that the general group has decided if there's any particular format in which they should be reported so that I can have that ahead of time and just follow that model.
Well, I guess we'll see what Nick and Olaf come back to us with early next week, and hopefully that's in the ideal format as a model for you.
Okay.
Mike, I need to leave the call at this time.
Okay, Jamie, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, so that's the data. I did want to talk generally about next steps. Olaf and Patrick and I have reviewed a sort of straw outline of what our report may look like to the council, and we will circulate that to the group after the call and ask for any comments. But the idea is to basically start plugging in pieces into that outline, with the goal of having the report done and final. To the council as requested by October 4th. That only leaves us three more calls after this one. I guess we just leave it at that since nobody's seen the straw report yet. There's not really much we can do to discuss it. That and the data. So the only other question I had, I think, was on the UDRP provider responses, Christina, maybe a quick update on if you've gotten anything further back from those guys?
I haven't gotten anything further, and I am still waiting to hear back from Christopher Poe, I believe his name is, as to whether we can make the Hong Kong one public.
Okay. with the other guys, the big guys, WIPO and NAF. Do we also have to check arbitration provider, by the way?
Well, but they're not.
And not accredited yet.
Yeah.
Oh, they are for EU, not for GTLD. Okay, but anyway, for WIPO and NAF, is there any follow-up that ought to be done? Would it help if I or staff sent a note as well?
I was going to send a reminder email tomorrow. I did get an email from WIPO indicating that they turned it over to their legal advisor, which, you know, I can say this because I'm a lawyer, generally is not a promising response. So, you know, again, I'll follow up and, you know, maybe it makes sense for, you know, for us to have a, you know, to talk offline whether it makes sense to see whether, I don't want to put Tim Cole in, I don't want to impose on anyone within ICANN staff, but, you know, it may be that we get to a point where we need to talk about whether it's appropriate to have somebody with perhaps more influence reach out to them.
Does anybody know Edward Kwakwa, the legal counsel for WIPO?
I don't.
I do. That's why I'm asking that question.
Oh. I don't.
So if there ever is a need to, you know, to ask the question, I'm actually about 10 minutes away from him.
Oh.
And that building.
Fabulous.
Good to know. Thanks, Nick. Okay. I don't have anything else that I was planning to discuss today. I think we just need to have some list discussion about the report, start getting that shaped up. But, you know, obviously we're waiting for the statistics now, too, and that should spur some discussion next week once we get the RFI information. Does anybody else have any other topics or concerns they want to discuss today?
Mike, I just have a clarification question.
Okay, wait. Before you do that, who else had something to say?
Just me, Nick. But
Nick, okay. Go ahead, Christina.
I honestly don't remember whether or not we had talked about whether we expect that our report to council will provide basically draft terms of reference for PDP or not.
Yeah, that was definitely a point of discussion that we need to have as well. It seems to me, my personal view, that, you know, absolutely, we need to do that, especially, you know, the sort of problems we're having just getting data. Seems to me that we're going to have to initiate a PDP in order to have any hopes of getting some of that information. And, you know, I've always been pretty open about my intention to request counsel to do a PDP on this issue because I think it's important for new TLD operators coming online in the future as well, so we have some policy on this. We do have representatives from all the other constituencies on the call today, so I'd love to hear what people are thinking on that question.
What's the question again?
Whether this group should move forward to draft terms of reference for the council and include them in our report for a PDP on domain tasting.
This is Jeff Newman. I'm personally in favor of that, so that I think we should, if we're going to make a recommendation to council that a PDP should happen, I think we should, since we've been looking at this issue, we should be the ones to provide the initial text.
And it is specifically within the charter of this group to do so.
If I may add, this is Olof. In the strawman report, there is also a straw, very much straw, draft terms of reference for, well, at least to have a starting point somewhere for your consideration once we get that out.
Yep. So, does anybody feeling that a PDP, or they're going to be, or their constituency might be in opposition to a motion to launch a PDP on these issues?
Well, this is Jonathan Frakes. I suspect that there will be registrars who are opposed.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jeff Newman. I'm confident that there may be one registry that would oppose a PDP.
Okay.
Not us, but there will be one.
Understood. Okay, so that said, I think that, you know, we probably will aim to draft up something, some proposed terms of reference, and those can, you know, be in the alternative form if people want, if people don't like the draft that, you know, it's not really a working group. It's really an effort to provide facts and information to the council. So what I'm thinking is that the registrars, for example, if they're in a different place than the rest of us, as I think they are, then they might want to consider drafting their own terms of reference or some sort of a statement saying that they don't think a PDP is warranted for various reasons to include in the report. Jonathan, Jeff, do you have any comments or thoughts about that?
My thoughts are is that I know you're saying that's in a charter for us to do, but that are we all, you know, I'm kind of saying that the mission of this group was the fact-finding mission, not
right.
to launch the terms of reference, to write the terms of reference. I'm unsure about how this is within scope, or is this what we want to do when there hasn't even been a decision to launch a PDP yet?
Correct. There has not, but it was put in the charter that this group would draft proposed terms of reference for consideration by the council based on the fact-finding that we're doing.
Right, but is that under the assumption, is that a post-decision on a PDP or just before that decision is made? I just want some clarification on that.
Oh, it's definitely prior to that decision being made. In other words, this group would ideally come to consensus on a draft terms of reference that the council would then consider and vote on in deciding whether to launch a PDP. And, of course, council could modify it at that time as well.
All right. It's something we need. I guess we go back to current constituencies because for us, I mean, as Jonathan said, I believe, you know, what he states that we'd be against launching the PDP. And as Jeff said, there might be some, you know, division within his constituency about launching or not launching a PDP. So I don't think maybe to go ahead with a decision now about writing the terms of reference, maybe, you know, to keep that on an email on our list to make that decision. Let us go back to our constituencies first.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're not intending to have any sort of debate or make decisions about what should be in there, and that's why I said that we can frame alternative paths for the council, but I do think it's within the charter, and I think that most of the constituencies actually are interested in taking a stab at drafting up terms of reference to recommend to the council. And, of course, as you know, Jeff, it doesn't even require a majority of the constituencies in order to launch the PDP.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, no,
okay.
Well, and we don't even actually have to come up with draft terms of reference. It could even be something more along the lines of, you know, based on the fact-finding mission, this is what we know, this is what we don't know, and here are a list of things that if you are going to proceed with a PDP, you may want to consider including. And, you know, it was kind of like a Chinese restaurant menu, like column A and column B. And
yeah, I'm much more comfortable with a statement like that.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different ways we can go about it.
Right.
I'm fine with that, too. I agree with Jeff, but I don't think that this group was constituted to, you know, debate policy directions and make policy recommendations.
No, of course not. I think the trick is that we shouldn't operate under a foregone conclusion that it will go to PDP. And you know, sort of prejudice that outcome. What we ought to do is focus on, you know, the fact finding that we've just chartered to.
I think honestly we just start looking at next steps. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. And what I can see is an alternative or complementary route would be to go deeper into. Hiring consultancy that would get deeper into the substance matter and make, and that could either be in parallel to a PDP or precede a PDP. And rather than making some kind of straightforward recommendation that rather indicates that there are alternative routes to proceed.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a little more comfort with the way Christina worded it. I thought that that seemed a little more reasonable, that there would be sort of an A or B.
In fact, that's how I started off the phrasing as well, Jeff. I'm, again, in the alternative.
Those, Jonathan. I probably misunderstood you. Yeah.
So I think at this point we do want to go back and check in with our constituencies and, you know, acknowledge that we're coming to the point where this group is going to need to create a report for council. And part of our charter was to suggest possible terms of reference for a potential PDP and get your constituencies' views on what those should look like.
No, I'm completely in agreement, and I agree we should move forward and next steps. And as I'm just going to echo what Jonathan said, and that I just when writing a terms of reference might be prejudicing the decision. And I actually, as I said, I like Christina's idea of saying this is what we found. Here are some of the issues. This is what we should look at, and the whole column A, column B, maybe even column C kind of approach to it.
Okay, I'm with you on that as well. So. Any other comments on that approach? Okay. Then Christina, I suppose you and I should maybe talk offline about what you're thinking your draft would look like, so we're not duplicating any efforts.
Sure.
And leave it at that for now. I'm intending to have a first draft of the report done the week after we get those RFI responses from the IPC. Hold on, I'm pulling up my calendar right now. Get some dates here.
I would suggest that you just leave a slot for them. You know, and what I expect I'll provide is basically a report ready summary that you can just kind of slot in.
Will there be any access to the raw information, Christina?
At this point, I don't anticipate, only because people have been required to provide their names and organizational affiliations.
Well, let's say that item was scrubbed, so there wasn't any personally identifiable information. Would you be providing that information in detail?
To be perfectly candid with you, I haven't even thought about it. I'll have to...
I think it would go a long way to support the legitimacy of the findings.
I'll take that back to the IPC.
Sure.
I mean, I you know, don't get me the wrong way. I'm not foreclosing it. I just honestly haven't even considered it.
Okay. And then, you know, for the benefit of the call, I appreciate we were able to get somewhere with the modifications.
Good.
Or tweaks to the survey. I apologize if we bumped heads there a little bit.
It's all right.
Okay, so I'm going to actually shoot for, we're going to send around the straw man report today. Olaf, I'll ask you to send that out to the group if you haven't already. And I'm going to shoot for a draft report by Monday the 24th. That's only going to give us 11 days from that point to finalize it.
So we're working with a document that Christina's going to draft, and then who's going to be able to provide input or feedback on that? Are we going to vet it to the list? How's that look?
Whoa. Wait a second.
Hold on.
What is this?
I'm not sure what you're talking about there. That's Jonathan, right? Are you talking about the draft report or the IPC summary?
The draft report.
I'm not drafting the report.
I'm drafting.
So we're clear.
Christina's certainly not drafting it.
Well, no, I think I'm talking about the EAB thing where we're talking about the terms.
Right. So that we're going to try to have a first draft of that in the draft report circulated Monday the 24th.
Okay.
Mike?
Yes, Olaf.
Before we close the call, I just recall one out outstanding little issue, and that's a question to Jochen. If you've got more responses from the registrars on alternative uses of the AGP.
I have, and there was one more, so I've been a little bit underwhelmed. What I've been talking with the constituency, different people in the constituency, and basically what they said is they'd like to just submit their comments to that as part of responding to the RFI. So we'll see those between now and Saturday.
Okay.
That summed it up best.
Okay. In the Strawman report, you'll find one of the headlines being something like, that particular piece. But mind you, this is Strawman report that we can model as we please.
Yep. I mean, I think at minimum, Jonathan, we're shooting for a list of bullet points of, you know, quote, legitimate uses of the AGP. Is that what you're shooting for?
Basically, yes. And, you know, the presumption would be, you know, if AGP changed or went away, these could potentially be the undesired or unexpected consequences of that.
Right. But I also understand you're not really anticipating having any sort of statistical information about how often, in fact, the AGP is used for any of those reasons.
You know, I'm not really – that might be something that, you know, the registrars themselves could post, or we could theoretically get from VeriSign. But I'm – you know, my thought is I think what we could reasonably accomplish is just a list of here are some uses for AGP that, you know, don't necessarily focus on domain tasting that would be affected if AGP was closed. If it was
right.
Eliminated.
Okay.
And I think that's what could be best accomplished as part of the process.
I think that sounds about right for now, based on what you said on past calls. And I guess the logical next step then would be, you know, if a PDP was launched, then that group could go back to the registrars and ask for more specific information, I think.
Okay.
This is Christina. I have a point of clarification that I just want to ask. With regard to the data from the general RFI, how do we anticipate that that is going to be presented? Will it be presented in basically kind of the aggregate form that you can see it in now with the addition of the kind of per question comments?
At least that.
My understanding is that we would get essentially an aggregate report showing the final numbers, how many people vote, you know, checked which boxes, mm-hmm. and then a summary from staff of the text responses.
All right. So to the person who asked whether the IPC, and I don't remember who that was, I apologize, to the person who asked if the IPC was planning to release its data, if that's what is going to happen for the general RFI, am I correct in assuming that that would be acceptable to you as well with regard to the IPC data?
If it were the case, that would be great.
All right.
The one, I mean, you know, I keep going over that question A thing, and I think, you know, it's good to let it go. But, you know, the net product of it is looking at the survey results from the current Big Pulse survey.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, it just shows you in the summary like this, it just shows you the question and what the most common responses were. So the, you know, the overall concern is that particular item might get focused in on and paint an incorrect picture to somebody who might just pluck that and focus on it and take it out of context from what it really is. So if there's an opportunity to see the survey results in aggregate.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that I need to talk with the constituency leadership, but I can't imagine that having aggregate responses in terms of, you know, we had 400 people respond, and this was the breakdown in terms of self-identification, and this many people answered question one, and of those who did, you know, 37 said this, and 47 said that, and blah, blah, blah. If that's what you're talking about, I think that's much more likely to be provided. What I had thought you were asking about was basically the per-respondent answers stripped of identifying information. So in other words, you know, take my responses and stripped out Christina Rosette and said, this is how this person answered. And frankly, I'm not willing to even consider that if that's not going to be done for the general
RFI. That's not something I'd expect. I think it's more towards the point of what Danny had been asking for, which is, you know, like, for example, can you see what people typed into the freeform boxes?
Oh, yeah, sure. And the only reason we're not providing those real time is, you know, because we are going to be validating, I didn't want to end up in a situation with, because we had provided real time and then gone back to validate and realized that, you know, there was one response that was, you know, by anyone's standards bogus and the numbers changed. We didn't want people start getting confused or concerned or, you know, whatever. So, we fully intend to provide aggregate data. That's the whole point of doing this.
That's perfect. I mean, the goal is to make sure that the data has that support so that it's, you know, it can't be called into question.
All right. No, that's fine. And I apologize. Is Nick still on the line?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to need to email you. I've got about 25 emails from IPC people who can't get into the poll.
Okay. Yeah, I've sent some emails to you in the background while I've been pulling as it's.
So, Nick?
My apology, by the way. I did send out an example of what comes in the comment boxes. Unfortunately, the first time around, I picked the IPC survey. Hopefully, Christina will not want to shoot me. I then actually provided the last two answers of the main survey so that you can get a flavor of what the raw report looks like.
Yep. Been looking at that, Nick. It looks good. Thank you. Okay, I think we have some indication of where we're going with next steps. I think the seeing the straw man report will help people frame a little bit better visually, and everyone will have a chance to chat about it on the email list and on next week's call. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up to this group today? Okay, otherwise, thank you, everybody, and we will talk again in 1 week.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.